to my fans.
Holy shit. No. Are you hashtag Team Lucia or hashtag Team OK?
No.
Oh my God.
No.
Votes.
No. No way.
You're going to have two different subreddits.
That's so scary.
I hate each
other.
Well,
I'm going to, I think I'll have fewer fans.
No, that's, you're only saying that because of the like the numbies on Twitter, but that's, I don't think that's actually true.
I think, no, isn't that how you count it?
No.
Oh.
Followers mean nothing.
Oh, wait. Wait, okay, wait. Here's, we cut out their hearts and we weigh all of the hearts and then we see if they're heavier than an angel or lighter than an angel. Yeah. And then that's how you know who the fandom
and
goes to.
You two go to a judge with each individual fan and the judge says we will split them down the middle.
Yeah.
And then...
Oh, yeah.
The rest is history.
Yeah, and then all of it gets molded into a baby, and then we just chainsaw it down the center.
Yeah.
And then, and then we trade eyes.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you think about the numbies, too, like, your Instagram gets way more numbies than
numbies.
Me.
Oh, yeah. I'm in,
so it's
I'm in
really
Instagram,
anyone's game.
I'm an Instagram star.
IG. Oh, this is just a thing. I didn't post on Instagram for, like, 2 weeks. It felt so amazing.
Oh, nice. So
the ads.
Actually, I posted on my
Instagram. You're an Instagram star, though.
No, I have a meme page.
Yeah, that's way to stardom.
You are a star, though. You are a celeb.
You have all of your, you're such a, everything about
you. Guys,
you.
Welcome to Art and Labor, the podcast dedicated to the ongoing struggle to survive as an art and or cultural worker. I am OK Fox.
I'm Lucia Love.
And we are joined by a celebrity.
I don't, Jesus.
Yeah, are you ready for this? Yeah. We're just going to torture you now.
We are joined by literary dark. Can I make it worse?
Oh no, you're shaming.
Like worse
you're shaming
than like
so
like family situations when like birthday dinners when you gotta people are just talking about you.
Oh, you know Darcy? Oh, she God. Was the Kardashians read her book.
Oh wow,
they True. Held the book. We can't be sure if they.
Yeah. Do they know how to read, though? Legit.
Kendall, they read, they do use their phones a lot. I shouldn't say this.
Oh
I shouldn't
God.
Say this.
We're getting immediately out the gate.
Out
of the gate.
Welcome, Darcy Wilder, to
I'm
Art and Labor. Thank you so much for coming on and letting us roast you immediately.
I bet. I'm on the art podcast. I'm on the labor podcast.
Oh,
I'm on the combination
art and labor podcast. I fucking love that. You know, the Das Races?
Oh, no.
Oh, me and Joey are big fans.
Wait,
yeah,
I'm not
also
sure.
Also played Culture Shock at one point.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, I just say no when I'm not sure, but then maybe I'll just say yes.
They're a rap duo from
Broke Up. But, like, heavy, like, 2009, 2010 type of, like, not, like, funny, but not completely joke. Had some,
irony, sincerity levels in flux constantly.
Yeah.
They're very good.
Yeah. Complicated legacy now, though, but because individual behaviors.
Right. So one of them, me too? Both of them? Joey's saying both of them.
Yeah, I think there were some issues, but...
Yeah, that's some weird energy to make music from.
Yeah.
Like, we're two guys and we both me too. That's like kind of what, you know, it's what we're into, everybody. Why don't you come to our show and meet us out back?
This is like all men, though.
Yeah. I mean, like, any culture from 2009-ish. It's like everyone was wearing American Apparel. Nothing was good.
Oh, yeah.
It was so.
Not like now.
You couldn't even get dressed without
feeling
terrible.
I feel like
things
were worse. Do you think things were, culture was worse or better?
Well,
I guess it's I
can't stand it when people ask me to make a value judgment.
Make a value
on,
judgment.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, right. I think it is three betters, one not as good, and a couple V bad, V canceled.
This is why I'm so fucking brazen. I'm just like, yes, I'm like ready to give the takes. I'm like,
four,
I don't give a shit.
It was four possums worse, but five raccoons better.
Yeah, because it's like, what, like, Like, who am I? Do I have a scale? I mean, we go to the judge for the scale of the fans. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? And then I whip out my scale and I weigh the world. I can't.
Yeah, metrics. And then they're like, oh, we're not doing metrics. We're doing video now. And it's like, what? Wait, everyone recently, or not everyone, there were some people who was like, it's the darkest time in American history. And it's like, yeah, we're like surveilled every time. But like slavery,
come on.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Like what?
Yeah.
I mean, Howard Zinn, read the book.
I get into this a lot because I try to understand historical figures in a way where I'm like, okay, what happened though? Mm-hmm. Like what is actually going on? And, you know, most recently, like yesterday, got, you know, chewed out by a little dog with human eyes.
Ooh, yeah. But I think I know that dog, the one that was on the timeline.
A little dog with human eyes on the timeline. No, in real life, I was at a bus stop.
There was a dog that was just on Twitter that everyone was retweeting.
Yeah.
I mean,
had human eyes.
Yeah. No, there's a on of them. Yeah. They're ridiculous.
It's and they, it's yeah, very they get into your head. Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm like, oh, well, I'm trying to read all these different things about Stalin, and I'm talking to someone about the Holodomor or whatever. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, well, you know, there's this resource about it. And then, you know, immediately little dog jumps on me and is like, they're tankies, though. You can't listen to tankies. Stalin is really bad, you guys. Stalin is bad and you're bad. You're bad. You're bad because you're listening to something about Stalin and people who like Stalin are bad. And I'm you're fucking out of your mind.
It's just weird also when the dog knows more than me.
Yeah. Also, this dog, though, I schooled them.
It was wisdom. I guess the dog is an essentialist, so it's like,
yeah. So they're like,
come on.
They're like, you know, he did some bad things. And I'm like, yeah, he did.
Yeah.
I agree with you. He did. And I'm trying to figure out what they are.
Yeah.
And then, you know, from there, he
calmed down.
No, he called me a podcaster.
Oh, wow.
Oh my, well, a slur.
Yeah. Maybe we should just wait until there's like a pure resource, the one purest objective resource.
Once
before
we find
learn
the
anything.
Resource.
Yeah. And then I'll be able to tell you, like, you know, I'll tell you if culture is better or worse than any other time once we find the pure spring of reason, rationality, and the unit of measurement. And then, you know, go full galaxy brain, and then I will descend from on high, and I'll be like, poof, 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 poof.
I've been thinking a lot about the anti-nuanced leftist as like a concept, like these folks who are like, oh, if you provide, I mean, this is really valid in regards to the war in Iran, Iraq, like with, say, like Elizabeth Warren's terrible response to Iran.
Yeah, that dance. Come on.
Horrible. Where where you're like
dancing
like
in the street.
Pervert that and like, you know, she was like, we're with Iran, and then cut to dancing.
Yeah. Oh my god. Well, like literally to like bowing to Meghan fucking McCain to call Soleimani a terrorist. And like, you know, I understand the argument where like, you know, you don't use the Republican conservative talking points to make your point, because it's a losing way to argue.
But we have to reach across the aisle.
Right, which is like, I get it in that sense, but like, I've been thinking about the
We don't have to reach across the aisle.
No,
we can,
of course not.
Throw rocks across the aisle.
No, but I mean, what I'm getting at is the anti-nuance in that, in regards to like, no war, unequivocal, no sanctions, unequivocal. Like, I get it in that point. I think people apply that to social justice language, and I think people apply that to these other things, like Stalin, that require some nuance.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that's what that was my whole point of bringing it up. But
oh, no,
you know what I mean?
For sure. There's I listened to TruAnon. Because I have a big...
I listen to it sometimes,
I have a big crush on them. I think they're so cool. I love them now. I love them so much. But their last episode was about social justice language.
Oh.
And then the way that it got adopted by, like, NAMBLA. And it was like the history how these, and then
the wedge.
How it transferred into like Tumblr culture and how all of these people are like, no, well, you know, pedophiles need rights. And then they were like breaking it down, like, what rights? What do you mean? The right to abuse children? What are you talking about?
Yeah. But it becomes a total kibosh on SJWs instead of, I think, a more like nuanced take of like, this is like a subset of people who are intentionally in bad faith using this, these languages, which can happen to like a lot of things. I mean, it's good to have a material grounding in your analysis because there's not holes you can poke in a material analysis. But like, if people aren't capable of doing that for whatever reason, I don't think a full like reactionary anti-PC culture thing is going to build a winning leftist coalition in the United States, for example. I think it's...
Well, it's like all we have right now. All we have is really like...
Yes.
It's like a constantly churning vat of like lukewarm takes that are all kind of growing mold because people are going like, my morality is all I have. I have to police myself and understand how to be good and how to, oh, I've got to go to the right thing and I've got to do the right thing and say the right thing. And then
and
like
consumption as morality. Yeah. I think that also when people co-opt language and then use it, I don't, and it's like in, like there's a bad faith, but I don't think that it's intentionally, I don't think that like, I think that it's like an emotion, like they're feeling a feeling, probably, I'm speculating, and globbing onto like a word and just like full steam ahead. Yeah. And I don't think that there's a lot of, you know, like introspection or like fairness, because it's not like we're having a great, there's no like place to have like a nice even discussion and like truly like look inside, like the thing you mentioned on the snack cast about actually speaking with someone about, you know, like why whoever isn't cool.
Yeah, do you want to rehash that story for the non-Patreon people?
I literally forgot what I was just talking about 30 minutes ago.
So we were talking about a little towards the end of the Snackcast, which you, if you support us on Patreon, you can hear a full extra hour with Darcy.
Talking about college.
Yeah. Gossiping about the roots.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty, there's a lot. There's a lot to know.
It was fun. It was. You can find that at patreon.com/artandlabor. Plug. But towards the end of that, Lucia, you were talking about a neighbor of yours you had a discussion with.
Oh,
and it was actually very fruitful because it was like, you know, person to person.
Yeah, I started realizing because I was like, I kind of got down on myself actually for not really knowing how to participate in like these, you know, it's like there's all these organized events and then you have to like keep showing up all the time. And in this way, like I literally am laboring right now. Like, you know, I'm picking up things that are too heavy for me to lift. I'm driving a truck. I finished my shift in a city where I don't live and I have to get back to the
and
city
it's
where
Boston,
I live.
Which is the worst city.
Yeah, exactly.
I will
and
never
just,
apologize for hating Boston.
I mean, I like my friends there now. I'm starting to make
as,
a couple. Yeah.
Death to Boston, not the people.
Not
of Boston.
The people of Boston.
Not the institution of Boston.
But just Harvard.
Harvard. Yes. The Red Sox.
Yeah.
The fashy cops.
Yeah. Oh, all the it's like full of like drunk racists. A lot of them.
Oh yeah, it's pretty intense. Yeah. But yeah, so you know, I'm like, you know what? I felt a lot of like guilt about not being able to show up for things and not really knowing how to like participate in feeling like I'm making a change or a difference. So I just realized kind of like more recently that when I'm out and I'm in my neighborhood talking to people and if I'm in a group, you know, and somebody brings up something that is controversial, you know, they're like, oh yeah, well, you know what? You know, Louis C.K. is a super, super punk rock dude, you know? He's, like, always saying what he wants to say and doing what he wants to do, and that's, like, the heart of punk rock.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I just realized, like, oh, wait a minute. This is a moment where I can have a conversation to open up a place for somebody to, like, see a perspective and maybe change their consciousness a little bit to edge them into the left. Mm-hmm. Like, and yeah, from that, it's like, well, actually, you know, we can take it down this route of like, well, the history of punk, there's like a whole lot of lefty punks and there's also a whole lot of Nazi punks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So which punk do you think Louis C.K. is? I mean, he's not a straight out fash, but he's sure is supporting some alt right tendencies.
No working class aesthetic. There is no, I'm sorry. Like, it, cause every single time there is one, it isn't one after a while, or like they're splinters groups, or like there's things that change, like, or it's co-opted. Like, I really don't think that there is one.
Nothing means anything. Like, you, the adoption from both sides.
Right.
Like, the trickle up of fashion and the trickle down.
As far as aesthetics go, I don't think there is one.
But I do like the part of punk where, like, the, when it, I think, just, like, the feeling too much part of, like, 80s, 90s, maybe a little aughts or something. Just like zines.
Emo punk or like
I'm thinking of just like coffee, like coffee zine. Maybe that's just my own memory of.
There's just all
like
different kinds, you know.
Yeah.
So when you just go like, oh man, that's like super punk rock. It's like, well, what do you think
also,
punk is?
Also,
first
like
of
who
all?
Is saying like that's so punk? Like as a good thing. I don't know.
Yeah. Well,
that's
dudes
just my
in 2020
dudes do that. Dudes are like, hell yeah! Oh my god, that's awesome! Like he had like three families and left them all because he's into himself. Or so, you know what I mean? And a dude will be like, yeah, that'll be me one day. Yeah.
One day I will like when people were into like G.G. Allen. People were into like G.G. Allen, and it was just like, I don't understand like why you would like
it's punk rock to be selfish and do whatever you want, regardless of like how you hurt other people or
but
whatever the fuck.
Isn't that more metal though?
Skulls and bones.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't want to make any blanket statements whatsoever, which is the core of my thesis in general.
Yeah.
So not, you know, I'm sorry, dudes. but, you know, sometimes a well-placed conversation can be like some really productive work for people. So,
no.
Yeah, I wish I was better at communicating that way, but I get really confused. Like, I wish I'd like took some like debate class in like high school or something like that, or like debate club, because I just I'm a mess.
It's
and that's
hard.
Why when I listen to like ContraPoints, I'm like, how does she do it? Like,
yeah.
How does she like
have
an argument?
No, I do want to lead this into ContraPoints. I was going to do that because your newest your newest piece in the outline, but like I did want to make this point before I forget it that. It reminds me of the episode that we did when I was like after the big community board hearing in Glendale and Ridgewood. Where it's like I made this point in that episode for people who didn't hear it, and a lot of new people are gonna listen to it because we have a celeb on the show.
God.
sorry.
No, it's okay. It's all right. Just own it.
You're famous.
I've been on the people's court.
But we did an episode in my community board went sort of New York viral because there was this 1,000 people shit show that happened at this large auditorium.
It was a bunch of people screaming and yelling, and then there were racists, and they all came out and they said, burn the homeless, burn them.
Literally.
We hate the homeless.
Literally. Not mischaracterization.
When was this?
Love that I got to do that, and it was not a hyperbole.
Yeah, it was not a hyperbole at all. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It was really fucked, and so I was there with, like, a group of, like, 30 people from Ridgewood, Tennessee.
And I was like, this is going to be a shit show. I'm going to watch it
and
on
YouTube. And you
watched
it on live on the live stream.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wait, I think I'm faintly, yeah.
It went, like, Gothamist viral. Yeah. It was, like, a thing. It was, like, but my point there, and this was made in, like, other op-eds and things, but, like, Raquel, the leader of the tenants union, went and spoke and said a lot of the same things as this, like, older white guy who all of the, you know, all of the mob listened to the white guy and booed her the whole time. But they basically said the same thing.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Wait, that does remind me, too, of Alexander Reed Ross has a book, Against the Fascist Creep, which I have, and I've read parts of, but it's on AK Press, and it's about when, how the fascists co-op stuff from the left and then use it to their own. So it says, like, you know, rock against communism and stuff, and basically, I think he might go, I don't know, into that thing where it's like, somehow it's like strange and uncomfortable when the arguments sound the same, where it's just like what you're saying about mm-hmm. Leading people in through Epstein. Or it's like people, like the problems are like so obvious that people on both sides see them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of like what I kind of realized was really important about this, having actual FaceTime conversations with people that are not necessarily already like aligned with you.
Yeah.
Because, and you know, you do also start to realize like, kind of what how to center your core beliefs and understandings of like, well, all right, this is actually pretty simple. Like online you can get dragged into a situation where you're defending something that a person is like kind of egging you on and like dragging you out onto a limb, and ultimately you agree with mm-hmm. each other.
Yeah.
But you're just fucking fighting about a thing outside of whatever is actually
like a turn
materially
of phrase
going
or
on.
Like a mis, I think,
yeah.
Like, and sometimes it is like a miscommunication, but sometimes there is, like, I really dislike this thing online now where people are like, oh, I was misunderstood. And it's like, no, you were understood. It's just people disagreed with you, but it'll be like an issue that is not that bad to disagree about. It's like a
right
overall whatever, but just this, like, I don't know. I don't know if there conflict on the internet. It's just like,
well, it's the engine that keeps social media running. Yeah. I mean, it's totally. Like, it's eternal. But then when you go outside of that sphere and then, you know, maybe are talking to people who don't even consider themselves to have, like, any political consciousness. Yeah. And then you see what they think and how they feel. Like, you know, what's their relationship to labor and what do they think that their rights are.
And the political machine I was going to bring up, too, is really similar to social media because they are also, like, co-opting these mobs for their own ends. The Republicans are co-opting this racist mob for their own ends, but really, like, it's materially in these, like, scary racist white people's best interests to align themselves with us in the tenants union, because a lot of them are tenants. Mm-hmm. I mean, not that obviously a lot of them are homeowners, like NIMBYs, that are, they're like the leaders of these groups, but like, demographically, there's no way that that's everybody in these neighborhoods. It just doesn't shake out that way. And right. It's like, it's clear, like, to me that, like, you know, when they say stuff that, like, they think it's a gotcha, they bring up, like, oh, de Blasio and Cuomo are going to get rich off this shelter. And then the tenants union were like, we agree. We don't think the shelter is the answer.
Right.
We think that housing is the answer.
Right. And then once you get to the point then when you can have that point of agreement, it's like, let's for a moment, I know this is like the scariest place to be, but like, let's for a moment stop using like linguistic signifiers to kind of like trigger each other and just go like, okay, concretely in a material analysis, what is going to better our community? Right. What can we do with this property, or what can we do with this shared experience that makes us feel like we are having like a compromise and getting what we want, at least partially, not like, you know.
But it's hard because the political powers that be don't want us to do that. They want to build the shelter and make money off the shelter for all of their friends. And they want like, you know, and then they want to pat themselves on the back for, yes, we built a shelter and we put a little Band-Aid on this huge problem that we caused.
Right.
And like, thing, like, so, like, quote, solution, quote. Solutions that, like, are designed to fail or just not designed to succeed.
Yes.
And then prove their point of, like, oh, we tried, we tried, like, giving people lives that they could live with, but it doesn't matter
how much they dress it up either, because, like, this shelter, the liberals tried to dress it up, like, oh, it's only people with you know, they're not sex offenders, and it's only this, and it's, they have to work, and they have to do this, and, like, all these, there's security 24/7, and they've all
it's
these.
It's like the Kamala Harris, like, I'm going to relieve student debt for Pell Grant recipients.
Wow.
Thanks. Not.
Yeah. And they were born with a vestigial limb. Yeah.
But they did all
and
this.
And they're only cancer risings or an earth sign in their Venus.
And they did all this to quell Republican criticism. It didn't fucking work at all, because they're just using all those same talking points.
Oh,
anyway.
God.
Wait, also, like, the quelling Republican stuff I just remembered for the first time in a while, like, I think it was, like, maybe 2016-ish, someone attacked, maybe a North Carolina Republican office, and Democrats responded.
By funding it.
A GoFundMe to fix it back up. And it was like, we're so fucked.
We're so fucked.
Like, how?
Because they're fighting on the same team, a lot of them. Yeah. Like, you know, and it's really tough to do organizing while this is happening. But I do think, you know, if you are a white person in a fairly stable position like I am, I think it's like, you know, this is my literal neighborhood. These are my neighbors, these racist guys. And it's like, if I'm comfortable, because a lot of the people of color who are doing the actual, like, tenants organizing work in the most vulnerable and marginalized communities, I get why they don't even want to fucking engage with these guys.
Yeah. But it's like an unsafe position. It's like totally putting yourself in danger.
These guys are dangerous. Yeah. These guys, seriously.
I know someone in the one of these unions that's like a endorsed, you know.
One of these.
Not, you know, the red union, you know, other side.
Other side bad of the street. One.
But he's a Marxist. And so, but he's also not in you know, like DIY scene. So he made these, he calls them booklets. They're like zines. He made zines about Mark, you know, whatever. And you would think, and I mean, it's not that you would think, it's like, it's common that like somehow these unions sway Republican in some ways, but he was just giving them out and they like beat him up for handing out Marx's zines for like carpenters.
Like, this
shit
is like the whole thing in life.
Yeah. And he shows up to like protests. I hope I'm not blowing up his butt in like a bad way. It's probably fine because he went to like one of those like demos a few months ago with this huge like sandwich board sign being like local whatever supports. And I was like, does anyone know that you're just like, no, but like I'm in the union, so and I support it, so
yeah, well, yeah.
Just put yourself out there.
Yeah,
that's I've
just
been
a bro
like
from the Bronx.
I've been working with a devout Republican.
What?
Yeah, like I am in the truck, and I'm in a little cab, so it's like, you know, I'm in a little box.
What type of Republican?
Like one who is also very Christian.
Okay. Is it like a Never Trump, or is it like a Trump?
I know.
I mean, like, is it a situation where
language
they are a Never
so
Trump?
Problematic. let's just stop.
I didn't mean call them an
object.
Give
up on talking.
I know.
Well, become monks.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely felt the same way referring to people as they out there, them, go and talk to them. I'm an evangelist. No, it's hard to make language around this stuff. Yeah. This person is like pretty much like, oh, well, Trump is the president, so I'm all right with it. And you know what? Better than a Democrat, got to tell you that. But another thing, you know, I am going to just, you know, joke around, joke, and haha, isn't it funny? Like, isn't racism great?
Okay.
And, you know, so, but I like meet them where they're at, and I do the joking, and I have like, I make myself a joke too, and you know, as a result, I finally got to this point, which was like opening a door, where since I have spent so far my entire work experience going like, ha ha, yeah, I'm a stupid dyke, and worse, that was nice stuff. Then I just started saying something about conservative attitudes the last time that I was working. And I was like, oh, yeah, well, isn't that cool? Like, the way that people don't care about workers and, you know, hey, also, we're workers. And then he just kind of freaked out. Like, we can't say things about conservative attitudes. Yeah. Like, how would you like it if I was being mean to you?
Oh, little snowflake needed a safety.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing, though. Because once you get there with somebody, you can remind them of the track record of like, no, I laid myself out there so hard.
Yeah.
And then like, so, and it's the same thing of like, if someone with Marx's zines is like, I've just been putting myself out there and honestly acting more like Jesus than any of you motherfuckers.
I was punched on Varick Street for 3 days.
No. Yeah, yeah, but punched on the cross.
Yeah.
Your friend's anecdote reminds me of the, like, Uovo anecdote that I don't remember if I told on the podcast because my brain is all over the place all the time.
We've all been playing Goose Game until 6 a.m. Goose Brain.
Goose Brain. Truck Brain.
Hey.
Of, like, the panel that happened at Versa with, like, the Teamsters and the New Museum Union and the sort of, like, cultural divide that was happening there.
Yeah, you mentioned some of that stuff before.
And I think it's, like, a real gap that we need to figure out.
Yeah.
Well, I'm telling you, this is the strategy to gap.
And
humor, like, applied humor and, like, allowing yourself to, like, because I think a lot of people will go, no, I have to defend myself. Yeah. You have to see me the way that I see me and, like, it has to be this way and I'm going to work so hard for you to know that I am real and I really care.
I'm
and
not a poser.
Yeah.
I'm not a
poser. Yeah. And it's like, hey, what's up? I'm a little piece of garbage. La, yeah. la, blah, 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 blah. And then people are like, I can fuck around with you. That's okay.
Yeah,
and then you can kind of slide in there.
I think there's a way to meet people where they are, too, if you're maybe not necessarily comfortable being self-deprecating or...
Oh, yeah. No, it's not for everybody.
It's not, like, but I think there... But like you're saying, like you said before, meeting people where they are, I think is like a huge aspect of this. Like, it's like when my friend was telling me about the Uova panel, I was like, I bet the Teamster guys are these like dudes from Long Island who own homes and are doing like pretty well. And he was like, yeah. And they even brought that up on the panel. And I'm like, well, that's a huge thing. So it's like they... Like, it's a valid, like, so one of their criticisms was, like, you know, folks are palling around with the bosses at these, like, holiday parties. I would never do that and blah, 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 blah. And that's, like, totally fair. But, like, what they might not understand, and unless you explain it to them, is, like, we're in this position where, like, you are pressured to socialize in order to succeed, like, in our various fields in the gig economy. Like, you never know when it's going to give you another gig to go to these things.
Honestly, like, separatists... don't make it very far, historically speaking. I don't really know of any separatists who, like, have made a kind of empire that...
Well, maybe they, like, have done well for their little group, but it's not...
Yeah, but, like, for how long?
Yes, how long, exactly.
How long, what's the breadth and scope of the success of your separatist movement? And if you can point me in the direction of something that has, like... taken over a state and become its own government where things are working out well, aside from, like, I don't know.
And, like, wouldn't the just, I mean, I'm on very little sleep, but just, like, this, like, separatist thinking seems, like, adjacent to just, like, ideological purity, which is essentially then, like, more cult-like than anything else
because
you're demanding uniformity of
adherence
that. Yeah. But back to the, like, what you said about, like, it being in the cab and, like, the self-deprecation thing, I think that, like, and I'm not great at speaking about what I believe. I'm just good at thinking and writing and reading other people. Like, I spoke in conversation, I say on a podcast.
Great.
But just, like, the levity of, like, because I tend to get, like, worked up and just very, just, like, you know, my brain fogs up, whatever. But just when I remember that, like, we're not salt. Like, it's just a conversation. It's like no one needs to be. It's just like having a like. I'm not gonna. It's not my responsibility to save to like dismantle capitalism. Save so like. I'm just like speaking with someone, and I'm not exactly sure what their experiences are. Instead of being like, oh, I've gotta like having a playbook, and it's like, all right, so if they say this thing, then I'm gonna counter with like, you know, in Spain, civil war, like blah blah blah, and it's like I can't do whatever. So I also like just. Putting like being from off the bat like having like where I stand pretty much known, so that like I just fear in a conversation being someone assuming that I am that I think what they think. If I don't, like, I just hate being misunderstood.
See,
in that way
that's the fear though that ends up like locking everything down. Because if you want to go and have those conversations, like, with people who definitely don't agree with you, they're going to be like, oh,
but you're one of the...
Yeah, exactly. So they hear, like, you know, if I came in and I was like, hey, I'm a big old communist. I love Marx, blah, blah, blah. He'd be like, let me spend the rest of your life telling you about why that's wrong. Yeah. And he would feel the need to then go and start like evangelizing to me. But in this, in the space where I'm like, all right, you're telling me about you. And the less you know about me, the more that you're going to feel like projection on me. And then I can talk to you about things and start to slide your opinion.
But like Dale Carnegie, like you say his name.
Yeah.
You just talk the best about himself. Yeah. But I think part of it is like, I try to bring like a levity to it. Like, oh, we probably disagree, but like, who cares? We're just like having a coffee in a workplace setting. Or something like that. Even though, but like, that's a good, I have to,
No, I mean, this is so relevant to your recent piece in Outline. Like, because Darcy has a really great, like, regular column? Is it a column in Outline?
My editor called it that, so I think I'm allowed to call it that.
And they are all bangers.
Thank you.
Straight bangers down the line. So good.
Truly, I'm not just saying, but I just, like, send, it's Drew Millard and Leah Finnegan. Just send them, and they make it make sense. It's so great.
You just like,
I'm like, these are, and then they're
a bunch of stack of
if
words.
If you saw the first draft, you really would not be saying what you're saying.
Stop. No, but I mean, it's the conversations. It's so like, cause you think about this as somebody who like grew to prominence on Twitter, like, and want to understand like what it means to have that platform. Like, I think it's an extremely valuable column because like not a lot of people who have that platform really want to understand the I don't know what that actually means or why that happens or like
the potential
I mean like the Lauren Dukas and like because that's like when you think about it who was it that I was like I was oh I think when Caroline Calloway was like a big thing I think I was like, I would understand if people compared me to her because, except because she rose on a platform and she has people, you know, and just that thing. But now, I don't know, when I look back at things a few years ago when people started following me, it's like Twitter's not a good place. Like, no. I don't know. Sorry, I just have very little hope for any sort of social media.
Well, it's difficult because it's like, you know, like we have been kind of going over the futility and the nihilism and the like kind of the brain melt that's totally de rigueur, like everyone kind of leaves it feeling like I mean like I'm doing well but I still feel like I'm not getting any points across or you know what I mean it's just
this futility like there's no way to really I guess that's what it part of the this week's thing was about like the gamification
I think there's a severe lack of self-crit like on the left and that goes across the board not just like to one sect of thinking or the other and I think it makes I think it's so valuable I think it's so fucking valuable to actually examine like how these like platforms work and like you know people don't want to talk about like how like you know money and careers are tied up in these things.
Yeah, and Outline is owned by Bustle. like the ghost of Gawker. There's
wild.
No purity in it. But and so I think also like self-crit stuff goes into, you know, like the like futility thinking where it's just like, oh, and even though like there's no choice and stuff like that. Or, I don't know, it's just very difficult. It's like, where do we, I don't know, I don't even know how we're measuring progress, but...
Platform, like, I mean, like we brought up on the Snackcast, like, you know, you, like, we were talking about, like, getting into fights with people online, and it's like, some, like, if you get into a fight with, like, a rando with, like, a dozen followers, and, like, you have, like, 1,000+
or whatever. My boyfriend told me to stop doing that, because he was like, you can't reply to people with 50 followers, it makes you look bad, and I was like, okay.
Oh,
because they've
got to stay on the bottom in the muck and work it out for themselves. They've got to strive hard.
I think it's not necessarily.
It was conversations I shouldn't have been engaging in.
Yeah.
Why are you wearing the dumb shirt? And I'm like, because of the...
Yeah. No, I'm just joking. Yeah.
No, I mean, but like, like I get like the argument that like, you know, when you have a big platform, like there's things that you consider, like, because the way you're perceived on the street with your neighbor versus like a rando in Twitter is so different because they just see your profile, they see the amount of like clout points you've accrued
arcade points where it's like when you go to the thing and you want to get like a CD player and it's like, oh, you need like 5,000.
Whereas like if you're just talking like, to somebody on the subway, everyone's the same. We're all people. And
It's
level playing field.
Well, the thing is like it's so much easier to get into a place where you're, it's like, reduce the anger when you're able
like
to
de-escalate.
Like if you can go into de-escalation so much easier in physical space because of like the subtle nuances that you use for speech and like
just
you know,
data points
exactly yeah.
So, someone once said that like there weren't enough data points over text and I was like oh my god
yeah it's true
I
it's
mean
true.
And like the, like disinformation isn't unreal like bots and shit are thrown around by liberals and it's a very annoying thing, but like when I'm thinking about the ContraPoints situation, like her point that like a lot of these like accounts could easily just be Nazis.
Oh yeah,
like
when she's like an anonymous account, like I have to take like, and that's like
you
a
don't
line.
Know you
yeah.
don't know
right
yeah and it's like who does it benefit to give everything the benefit of doubt or like, but also with the thing about like, the like having like tone of voice and everything like that. I feel like a few years ago, I did this, and I think a lot of people did, just, like, embracing this contextlessness of Twitter and just, like, these... And, like, that was the whole thing of, like, weird Twitter, which, like, also had a fascist side.
I love
but
weird
just,
Twitter, though.
Yeah, but just this, like, random, like, these...
Yeah, yeah.
So random. But, like I
that
mean...
That was a fun aspect of Twitter while it lasted.
Yeah.
Just, like, no
that
filter,
was, like,
whatever.
That's, like, why
now,
I went on, and, like, it was, like... Yeah. I have this account from 2013 that I'm still just, like, I'm just... sitting there and I'm like, nobody, just, it's all right if we don't connect, it's fine.
Yeah.
I don't want to argue with you about like something that Joe Biden did. I just don't.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And just this like, I thought it like kind of like the found stuff where it's like, you just come across this and now it's totally not feasible.
Yeah. Yeah. It's way too big. It's way too important now that the fucking president is, you know, announcing wars on it
those,
and shit.
Wait, those tweets yesterday? I couldn't believe.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe.
Yeah. Are we talking about the one, like, in Farsi?
Translate, yeah. Translate text. Like, what is happening? Anyway, yeah, but...
And then the ones that he was saying, like, literally, like, this counts, like... He did a tweet this.
I'm alerting Congress
I'm
by
alerting,
tweeting.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is how people break up with each other in really unhealthy ways.
Yep.
It was like, we broke up.
Oh, man, yeah, when there's, like, the big, like, YouTuber or Twitter-like thing. Yeah. Like, we broke up. And then, like, the
this?
Wife or something is, like, responding.
Yeah, yeah, like, wife drama. Also, today, this is more of a snack cast thing, but I guess. On one of my lists, I saw there was a toenail gate. If you guys...
Oh my god, no.
I don't know either of the two counts involved, but they had a squabble. Or, I don't know, squabble sounds... I don't know. But the tweet in question is that they were... Someone was accused of bullying. The accused bully came back and was like, this is a serious accusation. Do you have evidence? And then there was a dispute over the evidence. And then the person who who was saying that she was bullied... It's like, just so you, it was like bringing up, like, can you stop engaging? I have a history of self-harm. And then said that they had yanked out every toenail of theirs after that exchange. And it was just like, what is this?
Whoa.
Like, this doesn't seem like in any way.
Whoa.
This space seems ill-equipped to handle everything that is happening.
It is.
Every step.
It is. Because people are ill on the website. Well, all the time, and you never, and you can't just tiptoe, never knowing who is going to be extremely fucked by something you say, because you never know.
In the ContraPoints canceling video, when she booted someone from the chat because it was not, and like,
I remember, like, because that was one of the controversies with the ContraPoints thing, was she was doing a live stream and she was talking about a particular fetish, and then the person. Sort of like had a hallucination that like,
or like triggered something, and because that person like, had been abused, and then the fetish was the excuse the abuser used.
But the person, it sounded like, was really like, why are you
doing
this to me? Why are you doing this to me? And it's just like, she's not doing this to you. She's having a mm-hmm. conversation on a live stream and you're watching it, but that the parasocial yeah. aspect of it, I think, just yeah. gets and like, really muddled.
And like online spaces that need to be like, I don't know, it's like not for, like the internet is flattened when it, I don't think it should, like.
Well, my friend Pete Thompson says everybody on the internet is 16.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, man. That is like the, woof. Like the. It's so, the spirit.
He's an amazing cartoonist and illustrator. I'm going to shout him out to the nice. Day he comes home.
It's a so really good.
Yeah. He's a genius. Like, literally, he's so great, and I would love to have him on the show, and he listens to us regularly, so shout out.
But yay. That also makes sense that why so many online discussions feel like 10th or 11th grade, when everyone is, like, puberty is hitting in some, they're weird hormones just oh, coursing God. Through.
Yeah. Well, it's like we're constantly, like well,
over-emotional, someone's getting broken up with.
Yeah.
Gossip.
Well, I feel like people who weren't on Tumblr dismiss Tumblr as this, like, baby zone that mm-hmm. everybody was a baby in for years, and like
porno baby,
like yeah. Well yeah, but you know, queer babies, baby gays, whatever, mm-hmm. and like all fighting all the time, and like that was definitely an aspect of it, but it was also like just like this really helpful space and really great. I'm so many of my close friends I met through Tumblr.
That's how
and,
I like, feel about I, early Twitter.
I mean, like, I think one of the things that is really helping me to understand the value of a platform is to stop looking at it in like a meta structural way. Mm. Because every time I consider the scope of how the interactions are just endlessly warped and how there's like so much potential for disaster, I end up thinking like, oh well, I guess I better, like, you know, this is actually an all-consuming issue or something, and then I will spend, I'll, you know, I'll just like go down a rabbit hole losing days of just like, what is the, why people are like this, what, mm-hmm. and then there's no answer.
Yeah,
those, these people are just gonna be people, and this is just what's happening. And then I realize, oh right, I have like actually a set of interests, and like I'm so far off, like yeah. I'm so far out of my zone, and I'm like not producing anything of merit that people who like understand what I do, yeah. you know, like they're not able then to connect through the platform and like ignore the shit. And
I think that makes sense as a oil painter, like
well yeah I mean yeah. but yeah. also yeah. yeah I mean like I make things in a physical space that is that's like shared when people come to a space together, but then, you know, there's like the whole discourse around like what happens when you take photos of the thing and what right. happens when you share the thing, and like how can you make it more egalitarian by sharing the physical space on like, you know, whatever platform.
But it's like it's and already like, egalitarian enough when you're in the like most populous city in the country.
And yeah.
But it's also just like how can we, like, we can, the world, like, for me at least, what I want the world to be is, it's never going to be that. So, like, just, like, how close can we get? It's, like, the most egalitarian.
Yeah.
It's, like, it's pretty close. It's, like, 275 for, like, train.
But
round
you can
trip, it's more. But it's just, yeah. like, like, unrealistic. Like, I have a history of unrealistic expectations in some ways, but it's just, and I have to remember that in terms of, I don't know.
Yeah. But also, you can, like, there is a route to change the experience of others when you actually are like producing the content and like
yeah
and this
yeah.
I mean, it sounds like really maybe like woo-woo like self-helpy stuff, but it's like about maintaining the center of your work and like understanding that there is this very negative aspect of like how online communities can like literally torture people until they kill themselves.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, so we all yeah. have gotten to the point where we know what everyone is capable yeah. of. But then when like entering into it, it's like, if there's just a very measured thing of like, well, yeah, okay, so everybody is like crazy, but this is what I'm sharing. And whether or not it's something from physical space, it's just like,
totally.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not like, I can't get, like, cut it off.
No, it's extremely healthy. I think I think it's a perfect conclusion to come to, and I think more people should come to it. The reason why I think other people have a harder time is because they literally feel like so attached.
No, yeah, same.
And like, yeah,
same.
Like,
I've definitely like had to develop this. Yeah, for myself. Like,
and I think people will like, and it's a good thing to, you know, on our platform where we're influencing people. Like, it's good, and I just want to acknowledge that, like. It's tough for people. I wanted to, like, acknowledge similarly earlier, like, how, like, there's not a one-size-fits-all answer to filling the gap between, you know, the conservative working mm-hmm. class and everyone else.
Yeah.
Which is,
yeah.
you know, the majority of the working class is not
yeah.
conservative.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of like, I mean, I guess yeah. that's just what I've been yeah. doing is like, I'm yeah. like talking to conservatives. I'm like hanging out in physical space. I'm like, oh, wow. Yeah. So you don't know what like queer theory is at all. And yeah. you like get up and you drink a coffee and you move shit around.
But that's how like the window changes. Is yeah. through these interactions. That's how it changed with like gay people in people's lives, and that's
yeah.
how it
oh, yeah.
changed.
And I think we saw that also. I mean, I'm turning 30, but just from whatever I remember.
Welcome,
oh. Lucia is already there.
Thank you. I hope it's nice, but
it sucks.
I keep forgetting I'm still in my 20s for another few months. But when someone in the year above me went to college in middle of nowhere. Sorry, that's but truly like a very, very far away. It was like outskirts of Pittsburgh. Anyway, and someone thought that she had invented the word heteronormative.
Oh.
And she came back to New York and like came back to our like cushy liberal arts school and was like, someone thought that I was like fucking with them for like using that word. You know, now it's just like more whatever. I forget where I was going with that.
There's a study that came out that it was like a poll for how people respond to gender now. And I think it's up to like 40% of the poll sees gender as a spectrum. So there is something to be said about having these conversations with people yeah. and actually spreading like the way you can possibly think about it if you want to take the time and open up to
yeah.
all of the colors.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, it's just sort of like, I don't know, I don't know. Whenever possible, I try to, like, yeah, diffuse, like...
Yeah, I want to learn more de-escalation tactics just because I'm a very scared person.
It yeah. will make you feel more powerful, for yeah. sure. Yeah.
Like, I would like to speak in hush.
No, yeah. it is amazing hush. To, like, kind of change people's
ASMR.
Perceptions. I mean, speaking, like, as a trans person, like, mm-hmm. it's, like, people really, like, come in, like, with their guard up, like, I'm going to be a certain way or something, and I'm like, you know, you when you disarm them and you see it like melts, like they understand, like yeah. even like explaining they them pronouns to people
mm-hmm.
like it's
oh
really...
yeah, we had that conversation in the truck.
Wow.
Yeah, we had a they them conversation in the truck and guy was like, look, grammar is what we use to understand each other, all right? You can't go around this world just muddling up language and expecting people to understand you.
If you screw with my singular versus plural yeah. tenses, I'm going to blow.
And anyway, like, what is it? You know, you just all mixed up. You mixed up people, so you want to mix up language.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I always do the one
where that's like the Dan Deacon. Like, leave me to the building.
Give
fuck
him,
you.
Fuck you.
Yeah, not my chin, not my problem.
Not my problem.
Purchase. Sorry.
Oh, God. But, it's so easy to just be like, you know, say you're giving a job interview and the next candidate is in the room. They are in the other room.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I remember being, like, 8 years Whoops. Old, and I was like, why don't we just, like, why do we gender whatever? I was also getting, like, bullied for gender stuff every day, but it was like, why do we... It's
I
not
know.
A new... It's not...
Yeah,
it's
a
not,
lot of kids are bullied for that.
Yeah. yeah. It's and like... So I really do think that it's... We are getting somewhere now closer to a better
no, the thing
place
is,
where people can live easier.
Like, the Joe Rogan lonelies... are like similarly in like you know, a fucked up place where they're, like, just on Reddit all the time, whatever, because their lives aren't, like, they feel like they don't have power, and they're, like, you know, enacting it in like, weird anonymous ways and just getting reified by parasocial radio shows in their head, and then they're, like, for them to be encountered with, like, an actual person who's, like, actually affected by their rhetoric is big. Nobody wants to be responsible for saying something hurtful. Really, like, most people don't. Like, a lot, like...
And people that are, like, walking back their, like, horrible fascist things, it's very... I mean, it's off... Like, I have no sympathy for their actions, but just, like... I don't know. There's that one picture of, I forget her name, but like she did a BuzzFeed thing, and it was just like, oh God, her this creepy facial, like just the pain. Wait, sorry. I just remembered what I was thinking about when I forget what point, but just like the obligation to internet now, where it's like we really don't have like an option. Like I would like I know that like I'm different because my job is social media in like more ways than one.
Yeah, but if you're a gig worker, you do not have an option.
And most people are increasingly.
Yeah. I mean, and stuff with the California stuff now, but also when you mentioned the tenants thing and people like, oh, I'd never be nice to my boss, or I would never rub elbows. Or it's like, it's very difficult to figure out who is a professional friend and a personal friend sometimes. Maybe I'm just like the one, whatever, but it's like, especially when you're working in a more casual digital workspace and people go out for drinks afterward. And then there's like this like awful media, you know, this media gossip windmill of whatever. But then I don't know. It's like, you know, because you have to be a certain way to people professionally. But then also some of my people that I consider my best friends, I met in a professional setting and it became a friendship. You know?
Yeah.
Well, everything's a model.
Friendship is like pornography. You know it when you see it.
That's true. Aww. It's actually adorable.
I like, because this is so much fun, and like I don't know, we like hardly hang out, like, but like this is just instant, like so much fun, and like I don't know, you should just come back anytime.
I would.
Yeah. We can revive the DSA podcast. That you used.
Oh yeah. Oh, right. Okay. Also,
we can call them.
I have a DSA card. But because Sean, rest in peace. He moved to Austin. He's great.
He's under us now.
He's still alive and well. He's great. He's I never had a professional
all the way through the night.
Yeah. But I was because it's me, Sean and Ezekiel, and I was like, let's be the sad podcast. And he was like, no, we're the DSA podcast. And I was like, oh my. Yeah.
So good. It's so funny.
We were supposed to do an episode that came
back. Oh, bringing it back. Oop. Bring it back.
Oop, oop. 2020.
But podcasting's fun.
You bring it back. Call us.
Yeah. Let's just podcast all the time.
Yeah.
It's such a good podcast. Let's do it.
This is great. You should just come back anytime you want, anytime you have time.
All the time.
You want to start a goose game podcast?
Yes.
Whoa.
Yes. Lucia has not played it yet, I don't think.
Oh, gosh.
It's.
Oh, jeez.
That would fucking rock. Could you imagine?
I did get through Trover, though.
What is Trover? Wait, if you have any suggestions for
games?
I truly, this is the first game I've played since
Darcy,
Cold
for
3.
Those who didn't hear the Snackcast, just got a Switch yesterday.
Yesterday. Bit the book.
And then you
as a way
didn't
to
sleep.
As a way to wean myself off of social media.
No, it's helpful. Nice. I get sucked into a game and I don't tweet for days and days.
It's great.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because I needed a medium between scrolling social media and reading.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you played Trover? I thought you didn't have a PS4.
Oh, no.
Well, the truth comes. Mask off!
Shit.
Did you watch a Let's Play?
I just watched it. I watched it because I'm that lame.
I do that for PS4 games, too, because I don't have one.
Well, it's the game is 4.5 hours. And I don't know. That's to me is short.
Games? I'm so new. You can measure that's games short. in hours it takes to beat it?
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Okay. Yeah, so I was like, you know what? I just want to watch this because I haven't had a chance to get a PS4 yet. And like, so I got through this game and oh my God. Oh my God. It's so good. It's so good.
What's the concept?
So the concept is it's just Justin Roiland. Instead
it's Rick and Morty guy.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so it's not a Rick and Morty game.
He's the guy that's on the podcast. Where...
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Oh, no, well, Dan Harmon has Harmontown.
But he's one of the people on...
He's been a guest.
Okay.
But he does it, he just started a game company, so he put out also, like, this game called Accounting, which is also...
Are you an accountant?
Yeah, it's kind of like...
I didn't know that everyone played video games, and they're really funny.
It's kind of like the Stanley Parable, if you've ever seen that game. Like, okay, so all of it is like this sort of like existential meta playthrough where the game is also a joke about the game, and it's like a joke about being alive and being online. So all of this stuff like combines, and you're going through this world. In Trover, you're a little purple guy with power babies that you put in your eye sockets to power you.
Is it like something about baby fever?
No, well, it's
whenever
just
I
like
look at a child. I don't know.
Sorry. Power babies just rule the run the universe. They're the fuel of
the future.
Yeah, and they eat each other to level up, and then you put them back in your eye sockets.
Okay.
But then you also are this person who follows Trover around in a chair and never gets out of your chair. So, and that person is called a chair Orpian. And they have the privilege of not being attacked by assailants. Okay. So Trover has a lot of conversations with the chair Orpian about, like, the difference in labor that they enact. And then you go through this world and you kill angry birds.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, and all
that
the
sounds...
all of the angry birds are clones of this one... a huge giant angry bird who's an abstainer that went rogue.
Wow.
So the abstainers
like
can see... Yeah,
wait, don't spoil it too much, because I really do think we should do, like, a stream where, like, you play Goose Game and we play Trover.
All right.
Because they're both short games. Like, Goose Game is basically you are the angry goose. Like, you are an angry goose, and that's the game. It's very good.
Okay.
Yeah, I really love the goose, and also it made me empathize with my chihuahua more, because it was like... You're interacting with humans and, like, tricking... I don't know. There was something about the movements.
It's fun. It's, like, slapstick.
It is. You steal stuff from people.
It's relaxing.
It really
is.
You just play as a goose, and it's nice.
That's cool.
Oh, I also saw... I was just scrolling. I saw a goat simulator, and I was like, this can't be. But it's truly a simulator.
Oh, I've played the goat. Yeah, I've played the goat simulator. It's very broken and, like, more wacky.
As usual, the cultural touchstones of our... Of our time.
I'm going to say it's literally, and people who know both, I think, will agree, it's literally the synthesis of the Goose Game and Trover, I think, is the Goat Simulator. It's like somewhere in the middle, I think.
I just think we should fight
sort
for
of
a
like...
world where we have a Goat Simulator that works.
Well, because the Goat Simulator, it's much more fantastical. Like, you do a lot of, like, weird shit. Like, you're not just, it's not just like, I'm a goat at the pasture.
I thought it was that.
They'd
be like, you want to eat some oats?
No, it's like, you get all these
some raw
magic
oatmeal.
I don't know. Like, you get all these power ups and like you can really be wacky with
it. I love my new life as a gamer.
Yeah, games are
retiring
fun.
From the internet.
Gamer now.
Oh, whoa.
Gamer, we'll look out for our Gamer Freaks Twitch channel or whatever.
Yeah,
launch.
I'm dead. I just died.
Do you ever think about how much
I think it would rock?
Do you ever think the climate, the carbon footprint of Twitch streams?
Oh my god, just endless.
I think about that with like
I think it should delete after like Snapchat.
Got it. Yeah,
but
even
they
Snapchat
they save them.
Can't, yeah, they hoard all of her.
They just
what
keep forever,
world.
Forever. Edward Snowden writes about that. Mm-hmm. How we're just it's too much server. We can't just keep going like
yeah,
that.
It's true. That's why we got to end the NSA in general.
Yes.
What are they holding on to this stuff for?
Yeah, and also, you know how there's a thing, like, for us, every phone call, they vlog?
Yeah. We got to tell Google to stop selling our information, and we got to tell the government to take a chill pill, you guys.
Yeah. Although I do wish that they would just... gave us access to it. I just want access to, like... a phone call from 2005 where, like, where, like, this guy had told me we couldn't date because he read a zine on non-monogamy.
Wow.
Still wanted, it's like, I just want that phone call.
Yeah. Do you ever record any like prank phone calls or anything?
I don't participate in prank phone calls. But oh, if you, I no, would I love
used
to. Hear
I used to do prank phone calls as a kid, like and then sometimes, voice. Yeah, like we would just try to figure out. We would call like me and my friends, whoever we would have, you know, like the sleepover crew.
Yeah.
And it would just be like whatever house we were at, calling these numbers and trying to get people to stay on the phone and just making up things to talk to them about. So it wasn't like, haha, got ya. Really, yeah. Really like screwed you.
Refrigerator running.
Yeah. Yeah. We would like have conversations like we called like travel agencies and we would try to book flights. And we would like talk about the destination of the flight and like what do you think is like good to wear there,
like a time clock.
Yeah,
yeah, that's hard too. That's like an improv. Like I feel like transplants would sign up for that as UCP.
Okay, we should wrap. Yeah, we should wrap. But I want to shout out Darcy. Come yeah, on Instagram. I know you hate it.
Come.
I know you hate saying it. I don't.
I became a prude a few years ago.
It's okay.
Oh, my dad found out. Oh, God.
3333 on Twitter. The outline for column. Literally, show me a healthy person endorsed by the Kardashians. I'm like the worst.
Wait, no.
At doing your plugs.
On what, you know, like as above, so below. It's like flee from the. Kendall Jenner. No, she's cool. No, she seems like the one that reads. I don't know. I'm tired.
Sorry.
You're doing great.
I didn't realize the Goose so Game much. Would like ruin my sleep. Oh my God.
Oh, it's
I'm
just so,
so into
fun.
It. It's mm-hmm. so good.
And I don't really mean that we have to make a stream. I was just joking. If anyone actually wants to see that, they have to give us $1,000.
Yeah. Oh, pay for our.
Yeah. If rent is taken care of, then I'll quit. Driving the truck and I'll
Game.
Twitch stream. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
How about that?
It'll be a goal, but if the three of us just want to hang out.
Oh, yeah, we can just hang.
Record it.
Yeah.
That's
No, the public can only come in if they pay. Sorry.
I've been told I need hobbies, is what I've been told.
Oh.
I got it because I need...
told you that.
No, it's, myself, but like. Oh.
I was like, your therapist?
Well, no, because like, the whole thing about monetizing everything, it's like you
monetizing everything is hard. Like it's like
you need to
can't.
Stop.
It's not healthy.
You know, it used
point.
To be a hobby, and now it's
that's the thing. It used to be
it
a hobby, then I started
the
a podcast,
top.
And then now it feels like everything I say has so much more gravitas to it. And I don't mean it. I mean, just let's all hang out. Unless someone's paying us thousands of dollars.
Hey, I'm leaving the door open, folks. All I'm saying is unequivocally, just a blanket statement for the rest of my life. If you would like to pay me to do things,
yes,
we can talk about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, well, Jack Allison has the take that Twitch streaming is just trucking.
Oh, amazing.
Like it's like very similar. Like he was like literally playing the truck simulator, which is a real simulator.
Oh yeah, the truck simulator is good actually. I know that one.
But it is basically that cuz you know like well the way the rate of audience that he gets is like similar payment to just driving a truck.
Right. Mm. Yeah. Well, hey, so then we're not joking. Don't back out of this.
All right.
Hey, if y'all want to talk,
we'll pay wallet.
Yeah. I make my rent.
If we could only
drive in
be
and
born
I could
with
do
trust funds.
You know.
Gaming instead of lifting
Donate.
Things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I want to go fallow.
Lift things in a game.
I want to go fallow for you.
Reminds me of just a dust bowl. Anyway.
Yeah. It dust is bowl. A farming term.
Yeah.
Dust bowl simulator.
Oh, dust God. Bowl, yeah.
Well, it was so lovely to have you on
Oh, yeah,
show.
Thank you.
We
Big just... fan. Love the pod.
I mean,
one of the
we've been
ones.
Wanting you to come on the show since you, the beginning.
Forever.
I've been wanting to. But
forever. It is hard.
I had nothing to. I had nothing going on. I had nothing to talk about.
I mean, now you have this column, so you can just come on. We can talk about cool. your new column anytime
yeah.
you want. Or
now that I'm being.
New project.
I'm being watered like a plant.
That is nice.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's nice.
That's like our Patreons. Thank you, Patreons.
Oh, man. Great Patreons. Love the Discord.
Oh, thank you. Love Aww. The Discord. Shout out. Anyone wants to get in the Discord, if you listen this long, like I said, just
you
DM us.
It.
You deserve it. Yeah.
If you,
you deserve
want
it.
More of this for some reason.
What are you obsessed with us?
Well, thanks. Okay. Oh, we have plugs. Lucia has a
plug,
and I have a plug.
All right. So, homies, the philosophy school that I was working on putting together has gone live. It's called called Constructing the Real. Wow. And there's going to be 3 sessions run out of the Skowhegan building in Manhattan. Ooh. Yes.
Ooh.
And if you want information about it, we put that info on the Discord.
And the Instagram. And I'll put it on Twitter as well.
I just don't want it to go everywhere, really, actually.
Okay. Okay, Twitter is too much. We do have a big
Yeah, the thing is, it's a room in physical space. We're going to record things from the class, so everybody can, like, hear about it and check it out. But this is for people who are in the area. It's a kind of trial run, so there's just 3, but if it goes well, I'm planning on expanding the courses because I do not want to go into debt just to have an education on a higher level. So if y'all are interested in that, hit me up. We can talk about enrollment. Also, I offered to draw everybody a diploma with a crayon once they were done, if they go to all 3. So
it's like a sandwich shop punch card.
Yeah, pretty much.
Sorry,
it is. Yeah. It is, yeah.
Throwback to that cast again.
It is like that. I'll draw one part of it for each course, and if you get a completed diploma, then you can, you know, frame it yourself.
And my plug is I'm doing my friend Jordan Michael's show that happens monthly at Pete's Candy Shop.
Ooh.
And that's on the 21st. It's just like a live podcast recording.
And it is, the theme is art and labor, and it's going to be like a group of people.
It's like, normally the how his podcast is structured is there's like an interview with a non-musician and then a musician and then a little interview with the musician and then we all maybe talk, but yeah.
My thing is I'm going to Detroit on the 25th and I don't know what to do there. If anyone has any suggestions.
Cool.
How long are you going to be there?
In like 4 days.
Word. You should go to the museum.
Detroit music. The Detroit.
They have
a good
Yeah,
they have a big one.
Yeah, they have all these like Diego Rivera murals stuff.
Is that the one? Did they just do the Instagram one that had a like Richard whatever his name's revival? Never. This is not important.
Oh yeah. We'll wrap it up. I'm not. Oh, Richard Prince.
Yeah, I think he did, but I don't know if that was the Detroit Museum or it was. But
I'm not sure actually. I should know.
Fuck Richard Prince.
Damn. Yeah.
But Diego, the big Diego Rivera mules, that's like something to see while you're there.
And the nightmare painting.
Yeah. Oh. And Orozco, too, is my favorite Mexican muralist. Has a big one there, I think.
Mm-hmm.
A day at the museum.
Yeah. It's cool. It's cool, folks. Museums are cool.
Yeah, the Mexican muralists and labor history. There's some good stuff there. Yeah. Cool. Let's wrap up. Bye, everybody. Let's have fun.
Thanks, guys.
Yay! Let's have fun.
Bye!
I get if you have an aeroplane that can fly the world and we can have a fantasy. It doesn't really matter if you drive a limousine. It really doesn't matter if you drive for galaxy. I really don't care if you just drive a truck. I don't care if you just drive a limousine. It doesn't really matter if you drive a Ferrari. Cause I just love your company. Let's have fun. 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 Lots of fun. Let's have fun. Let's have fun.